Matthew chapter 6. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
So, let's see if our slides will come up. There we go. I wonder if you can tell me who these characters are, or these celebrities. Does anybody know picture one? You can shout out if you know who the folk are in picture one. Where's Emily? Emily's like, woo! Who's that, Emily? Timon and Pumbaa from The Lion King. There we go. Number two. Who knows who number two is? Yep. Bob Marley. There we go. Who else knew that was Bob Marley? Oh, you're just shy. There we go. Ooh, number three. That's a little bit more tricky, I think. Who knows who picture three is? It is Bobby McFerrin. There we go. Well done. Good. Who else knew that was Bobby McFerrin? Oh, well done. Well done. Okay, next question. Do you know what they have in common? Who said that? Andy?
No worries.
No worries. In some way or another, all three pictures, the characters tell us in some way or another not to worry. Timon and Pumbaa, Hakuna Matata. It's their problem-free philosophy. Make your life easier if you just have no worries. Bob Marley, in his song Three Birds, said, don't worry about a ting, because every little ting is going to be all right. There we go. Bobby McFerrin, what did he sing? Don't worry, be happy. Here's a little song I wrote. They all tell us in some way or another not to worry. And I think it's good advice at one level, not to worry. If you're anything like me, that you'll find worry comes quite easy. It's really hard not to worry. We all worry about things. We worry about big things. We worry about small things. A kind of nagging, doubtful, distracting, and debilitating churning in our stomach. Butterflies. We worry about the weather. We worry about the traffic. We worry about tomorrow's test. We worry about the test in 6 months' time. We worry about providing for our children. We worry about the move. We worry about our health. We worry about the health of others. We worry if we will be liked. We worry about worrying. And if you weren't worried, you're probably worried about something now. Or you're worried that you're not worried. Winston Churchill said something like this: when I look back on all these worries, I remember the story of the old man who said on his deathbed that he had had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which had never happened. Worldly advice suggests that we shouldn't worry. And the mechanism for not worrying varies. Everything from just forget about it to have another glass. One website suggested a bunch of things, one of which was this: slowing down. It reads, do whatever you are doing right now, but slower. Move, talk, eat, or ride your bicycle slower. By doing so, you'll become more aware of what is happening all around you right now. I'm not sure how being late, cold food, or falling off your bicycle is going to help. And it's all pretty much the same thing. It's all the worrying advice. It's all about don't worry. It's all something that you do. And it's kind of like putting a plaster on a wound that needs surgery. Jesus says something different. Jesus says something brilliant. And it's not just simply don't worry, but Jesus says because God is your Father, you don't need to worry. And then the question isn't just about not worrying, but it's about trusting in God as our loving, providing Father. The Sermon on the Mount is revolutionary, and it's Jesus teaching his followers about the culture of God's kingdom. It's radical and it's different. There are no half measures. Because of God's grace in our lives, because we are his people, we should live lives that are radically different to those around us. This new radical culture of God's kingdom revolves around relationship. And you see this in the amount of times that Jesus refers to God as our Heavenly Father. Take a look quickly at chapter 6 and count out how many times Jesus refers to God as Father or Heavenly Father. Have a count and shout out when you get the answer. How many times does Jesus refer to God as our Heavenly Father in chapter 6? Who's brave? In chapter 6, the whole of chapter 6? 12. Who said that? Hey, there we go. Sharon's on the ball and brave. Well, on 12 times, Jesus refers to God as our Heavenly Father. You see, Jesus is making a point. He's making a radical point. God is our Heavenly Father. That's important. God is our Heavenly Father. Now, there's a lot of really good meaty bits to enjoy and savor in this passage. It's a bit like a fabulous buffet, but you have limited time to taste everything. It just wouldn't be practical for our purposes this morning. And I'd love to dig more deeply, and I'm sure you'd love to delve more deeply too. But as we can't do that, here are a few brief comments to notice. Maybe you want to write it down or save it somewhere and think about this at some later stage. So things to explore. This passage gives practical expression to the Lord's Prayer. And from the adverb, therefore, at the start of verse 25, we see that this passage is meant to be understood considering the previous section where Jesus talks about our response to material things. Jesus is still talking about material things in the section that we're looking at. But yeah, we shouldn't worry about material things, but rather we should be seeking his kingdom. Ah, there we go. Matthew 6 also keeps asking us to choose between two options. If you take a look at Matthew 6, 19 to 21, the question is treasures in heaven or treasures on earth? In verses 22 and 23, it's darkness or light. 24, it's material things or God. And then in verse 25 to 34, it's are we going to worry or are we going to have faith? Another thing to note is that worrying won't take our troubles away. Take a look at verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Worrying won't take our troubles away. Another thing to note is that worry comes from a lack of trust in God. And we see that in verse 30b and in verse 32. And this is what it says in verse 30. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And then in verse 32, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And then lastly, to note, don't worry doesn't mean that we don't have any responsibility. When Jesus says not to worry, that we shouldn't worry, he doesn't mean that we shouldn't be concerned, that we shouldn't plan, and that we shouldn't prepare. Don't worry simply means having a right attitude to those things. So in this section, Jesus says to his listeners in his Sermon on the Mount, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your clothes. And Jesus' reason for not worrying isn't self-help or healthy living advice. He wants us not to worry so we can seek first his kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God. And we see that in verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. We need to put the things of God before our own needs. And Jesus tells us two things to help us not to worry. The first thing that Jesus tells us when he says don't worry is that worrying is pointless. Take a look at verse 27. Jesus says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? It's pointless. And I imagine Jesus said this with a bit of a smile on his face, picking up the absurdity here. Worrying won't make you live any longer or add any benefit to you. In fact, today we know that worrying might even shorten your life. In 2015, the average life expectancy in the United Kingdom was 81.6 years. I make that out as 713,940 hours. Worrying isn't going to give you one single extra hour. Jesus says worry is pointless. And the second thing Jesus says is that we are valuable to God. And the reasoning goes like this: because we are valuable to God, God will provide. And because God will provide for us, we don't need to worry. Matthew 10:29 tells us that two birds, sparrows, are sold for today's equivalent of a penny. So I looked on eBay to see what you could buy for a penny. I want you to choose between the two items and tell me which one you think is sold for a penny. Those are the Chelsea home shirt and the Liverpool home shirt. Which one do you think is sold for a penny? Oh, there we go. Liverpool jersey at the moment on eBay, you can put a bid in for one penny. A marble or a fidget spinner, both popular children's toys at different times. Which one do you think you could buy for a penny on eBay? Fidget spinner, marble. You know, on eBay, I couldn't find anywhere where I could buy one single marble. Maybe I was searching wrong. Somebody will go and prove me wrong, but I couldn't find a spot where you could buy one marble anyway. But you could buy a fidget spinner for a penny. Two CDs, John Denver and Madonna. I don't know if I should admit this, but I listened to one of them. You can figure out which one I enjoy. Which one of those do you think you could buy for a penny on eBay? Actually, you can get quite a few of Madonna's albums for a penny. I'm not surprised. Maybe you are. Jesus uses birds as an illustration to show that even though they have little value, God looks after them. And the point that Jesus makes is that if you look after the little birds, which have a very little value, half a pea each, 1 penny, roughly, for two, if he looks after them, then he will certainly look after us. If God can be trusted to look after the birds, we can trust him to look after us. And Jesus makes a similar point when he talks about the grass of the field. That's a picture of Namaqualand in South Africa in spring. And the point that Jesus makes in verse 28 to 30 is that if God looks after the grass, which is temporary, by clothing them, and clothing them even better than what King Solomon ever was, he will look after us. King Solomon was wealthy beyond imagination, but not even he could clothe himself as spectacularly as God clothes the grass. And what value does grass have? Well, I'm looking at David, so most of us, probably not much. For most of us, grass doesn't have much value, maybe for a farmer. But grass has very little value. If God clothes the grass, won't he clothe, provide, and care for us? The Bible is full of passages explaining just how much God loves us. Here are a few for us to consider. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." One of my favorite verses, Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." And Psalm 136 is full of this line, "His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, because his love endures forever." God loves us very much, and because he loves us, he will provide for us. We've already seen that in the Sermon on the Mount, God is describing the culture Jesus is describing the culture of God's kingdom. The king of the kingdom is a loving father. Take a look at verse 32. "For the pagans run after all these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need them." We have a heavenly Father who knows what we need. A loving father will never withhold from his child if he has the means to provide it. He will do whatever it takes. A father will do whatever it takes to feed and clothe his children. I'll never forget talking to a homeless man in South Africa, and he'd resorted to crime to feed for his family. You see, he wanted to provide for his children by his own means, but he just couldn't. And so he resorted to crime. It's not right, but I understand that. And I think many fathers here might as well. I would do whatever it takes to feed and clothe my boys. And as an earthly father looks after his children, so much more will our heavenly Father. Jesus teaches a similar thing in chapter 7. God our Father wants to give us good gifts. He wants to provide for us. God wants to provide for us, and he can. Everything is his, and he controls all things. He isn't limited by his resources. We are dear to him and very valuable in his sight. We know this is true, and we can't deny it when we look at the cross. We must be valuable to God. We must be valuable to our Heavenly Father for him to pay the price that he did. He so loved us. God so loved you and me that he gave his Son. And what great fatherly love is this? 1 Corinthians 6:20 tells us that we were bought at a price. You and I were bought by our Father at a price, a high price. I want us to think this morning, are we going to trust in God, or are we going to trust in something else to provide for us? Maybe the economy. Maybe our own wealth. Maybe our parents. Are we going to trust in God or in something else? more often than not, something else will fail us and let us down. But not so God. God will never let us down. As we trust God, we will learn that we don't need to worry. It is a process. We are His. He won't let us go. We are valuable to Him, and He will provide for us. There will always be something to worry about. The question is, will we hand it over to God, knowing that we are valuable to Him and that He will provide? We don't need to worry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a privilege to call You Heavenly Father, that the Lord of all can be addressed in such personal terms. Thank You that You are Heavenly Father. Thank You that we are dear to You, that we are valuable to You. Thank You that You will provide for us. Lord, help us to trust in You more. Help us not to worry, not because of our own strength or because of the ability of others, but to not worry because we know that we are valuable to You and that You will provide. Amen. So do not worry, saying, "What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?" For the pagans run after all these things, and Your Heavenly Father knows that You need them. Amen.